Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, I really wanted to come on and take the piss out of you because you've got train tracks, but I won't because I've had them. I had them for 3 years and I love you. How are you? How's your mouth?
Feels like I've got a razor in it. Do you know what it is? It's like, it is painful, but I kind of knew it would be. And like, I've had that other thing before, so I'm kind of over the pain. I just feel like a bit silly. I feel like I can't even blow a candle out. I feel like I can't put my lips together in that. I can't use a straw, I reckon. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I feel like a goofy teenager.
Oh, George. But have you snogged James yet?
No.
Like, have you done like a full-on French kiss?
No.
French kiss, you can say that?
No, I haven't done that. No. I don't think I will. I don't think that's going to be
For 2 years? You're going to have to...
You can't... Oh, God. It's like... I feel like I'll rip his tongue off or something. I haven't got them on the bottom yet, so I've still got time because Ooh. I think if you've got them on the top and the bottom, surely that's worse because there's no escape.
You just have to be very delicate with, you know.
But I've also got them in the roof of my mouth, remember? I've got a whole roof of metal too.
Oh,
so
Georgia.
I'm basically like metal mouth.
How long for? Do we know how long?
We don't know. We don't have time scales.
No, okay.
I mean, they're straight, so... There's not that much to do. It's kind of just holding the gap, I think. That's what it's doing.
All right. Well, we had lots of messages from lots of our lovely followers online just sending their love and best wishes.
Yes.
And with that, we love you and you don't look like a goofy teenager.
Oh, thank you. And also, thank you to all the people that said it was the best thing they ever did because that's the kind of stuff you want to hear, right?
Yes.
So if your mate's got train tracks, don't go like, oh gosh, ow, oh gosh. Be like, it was the best thing I ever did. Done. Because then that just keeps you focused, I think. But anyway, Zoe, how are you?
I'm in much better spirits than I was last week. I'm going to be honest with you. Last week was an incredibly dark week, as in I cried every single day. Oh. Finding out that I tore my ACL was horrendous. And then I just got really low. And I'll be very honest, because we always are on this podcast, but it sort of triggered a lot of my... So I had 5 knee operations during my 20s, which I think I've spoken about before. And during that period, I was also anorexic. And it was like, this is very honest, but I think not being able to exercise during that period only exaggerated me restricting food. Mm-hmm. And all of these fears came back in at the age 40. Like I haven't been anorexic for 12, 13 years. I feel like I've really overcome it and I really have got on top of it and it doesn't ever really rear its head at all. And then suddenly I felt like I was back in this hole with it and it was just right there and it was really scary. And actually I spoke to you about it, George, didn't I?
You
and
did.
I've been speaking to my therapist about it and I spoke to Dozer about it and I was like, you know, every time I get a little pang of it, I just put my trainers on, I go for a run or I go to the gym and I'm able to train it out of me. And then suddenly I'm not going to be able to exercise for quite a long period of time. It's going to be, you know, a very different horizon for me. And I just got very frightened. So I think last week was a bit scary. This week, however, I've been to the gym already this morning. I've sat on the bike. We're working out a program and just talking about it has made it a lot better.
Yeah. And I think that I said to you before, didn't I? I said, just as long as you keep talking, like to me, to Dozer, to, you know, everybody, then I think that that's kind of all you can do. And also the fact that you're addressing it, you know, like, you know that it's a trigger.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel like you're on the forefront, you know, like you're already ahead. You're going to be fine. You really, really will.
I feel like I am. And I'll be honest with you, you know, dealing with it this time around is going to be so different, an operation and the recovery, because I've got three amazing kids to look after. Mm. We've got made by mamas to do. I'm going to be really distracted. I've got dozens of this. I was all on my own last time. It's a very different setup this time. Yeah. And when the kids continually do ridiculous hysterical things like what happened in the park yesterday. So we went to Bushy Park yesterday, which I'd never been to before. It's beautiful. There's like deer everywhere. All the kids are on their bikes. Me and Dodger are like, oh, breathe it in, the universe, like really having one of those moments.
Yeah.
And then stops and goes, "Mummy, I need a poo." And I was like,
oh no,
shit.
Oh no. I was like,
we're in the middle of a park. So anyway, but like it's massive and there's no loose, like there's nowhere to go. And then I suddenly see, shout out to this couple, by the way, a couple coming towards us with a pram. I said, "Have you got any wipes?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Yeah, look, you can have these." They gave me the rest of their packet of their wipes. Oh. He took a shit behind a tree.
Oh, God.
He did a poo behind a tree.
Oh, don't.
There were people walking past. I had to have him in the squat position.
Oh, my God, don't. So I've been there. I've actually been there with Axel.
I was like, in my head, I was thinking, is this legal? Like, are you allowed to just take
I
a
tell
shit
you what,
in the
as well. I tell you what as well now. When you do get back running or you go for your walks and you see, you know, like you sometimes you see a really suspect poo on the floor, yeah? And you look at it and you think, that doesn't look like a dog poo. That does. You will think, you'll be like, and it's probably not. It's probably a child.
It made me laugh. It did make me laugh. Go on, Kit.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Gotta go. George, we need to get into today's podcast because what a beautiful conversation.
I know. It's been, so sometimes you guys send in a message and you'll say, I really want to hear from this type of parent or, you know, someone in this situation. And it's not always easy to find someone in that exact situation, especially who is open to talking about it. And I guess we don't need people in the public eye on this podcast. It's all about stories. But I guess it's really difficult to find someone who's not got some kind of presence, because you can't just go up to someone in the local coffee shop and be like, oh, I heard you've just split from your partner.
Want to come on and chat on our podcast?
So we've taken a bit of time trying to find somebody who is a single parent who's just been through a split. It's been hard. And we really think we've got it right with this one.
Yeah.
She was so honest, like spoke about things that I guess you would fear contemplating where you're going to live, like how you're going to pay the bills, all of those sorts of things. Really, really great chat.
And even, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but even the moment that you decide, do you know what? It's done. Like even that moment, I think, you know, we've all got to that point thinking, are our marriages over here? But actually waking up and being like, today's the day, have a listen, this podcast, it's really, I feel like it's going to change the way that I look at things in the future, actually. I feel like it's that powerful. And, you know, ahead of the conversation, we just want to say a massive thank you to this incredible guest. Who are we talking to today, Georgia?
We are chatting to Hannah Gale.
So welcome to Tuesday's episode of the podcast. Joining us for today's chat, a formidable writer, snacker. She self-confessed snacker. I didn't say she was one of those. Single mum of two, absolutely incredible human being. It's Hannah Gale.
Yay. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
I am good, thank you. Do you know what? The sun is actually shining for once, so I feel great.
Brilliant. And just quickly, for those who don't know you, do you want to just give a little insight into who you are and I guess how you came to be online?
Yeah, of course. So I started my career working in women's magazines. So I used to work for Look, Marie Claire and InStyle. And then I started my own blog probably about 10 years ago. And then went on Instagram from there and kind of just continued working in, I guess, just creating digital content for women who were kind of a similar age to me. And then that's still what I'm doing now. But as of September, I will be going to medical school to study a degree in medicine to hopefully become a doctor. So yeah, complete curveball there.
I mean, it's so interesting. Do you know what, Hannah? We're really glad that we've kind of got you at this point in your life, because there's a big sort of transitional stage coming up for you. But when we put out a box on Instagram, we said, who do you want us to chat to? We had lots of Hannah Gale fans out there, but also people really wanted to hear from a single mum who, you know, you've been very vocal online about your kind of highs and lows around this. And actually, we've only had one previous conversation about it. So we've got loads of conversations, you know, ranging from sort of like, you know, day-to-day highs and lows, but also the dating scene, how you're navigating all of that. Because obviously, Georgia and I are sort of old married jealous. Women these days. Oh, jealous. Yeah, no, exactly. So just start, I guess, start from the beginning, because you were with your partner, you've got two young children. Just sort of tell us about that.
Yes, of course. So I was with my ex for about 9 years, and I had my first son when I was 27, and then I had another son during the pandemic. But I feel like, you know, the pandemic was awful for so many reasons, but I feel like it was a real turning point for a lot of people. People kind of came out of lockdown and kind of thought, what do I actually want from my life? You know, am I happy doing what I'm doing now? And for me, that's obviously amounted in a lot of change. So I became single. I separated from my partner last summer, and also decided to go back to education and completely change careers. My DMs are constantly going off at the moment of people either who have just come out of relationships and have small kids, or a kind of, what was the deciding factor for you doing it? Because I think maybe I need to do it, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
And there's just this feeling of unrest in the air. It's kind of how I see it.
Mm. Yeah. I guess you mentioned lockdown, and was it the fact that you kind of sat back and thought, do I actually want to be in this relationship forever? And I guess, is it better to do it when the kids are really young than know, like, that in, I don't know, however many, what was it for you? What was the thing that made you think, right, it's now, it's got to happen?
I actually don't know. It was almost like one of those days I just woke up and I thought, I've got to do it today. It's got to be today. That was it. It was, I could not physically move on with my day until it was done. And I got up and I kind of said, look, are you free for a chat? The kids were both at school and they were both at nursery at the time. And that was kind of it. And it was the biggest emotional feeling inside in that, like, as that conversation was happening, and as in that conversation, so much was changing, so much was about to change. My whole world was about to change, and the kids' complete life was about to change. So it felt huge. And once it was over and I kind of walked away, I don't think I could stand up. I was like, it felt like all the air sucked out of me, and it was so overwhelming. But then that day, the relief of just, it felt like the right thing. It felt, as soon as that kind of, those few minutes where it kind of engulfed me were over, it felt so right. And I think we've all had that feeling when you've done something or you've made a decision and it just sits right with you, and you know that even if it's not always going to be easy, it was the right thing. And so I had that, but there was no big lead up to it. There was no big thing that happened to kind of make me that morning wake up and go, do you know what, it has to be today.
Do you have to plan those sorts of conversations in your head, or was it something that you just woke up one morning and thought, well, you've said today's got, it's got to be the day, but had you had the preamble in your mind beforehand?
Not really. So obviously so one of my friends had actually separated from her husband the year before. So there'd been a lot of that kind of conversation in my WhatsApp groups and stuff, kind of supporting her through it. And it was really, really helpful for me to have somebody go first. And I know that sounds silly, but it was watching how her life had then kind of played out in that following 12 months was amazing for me to witness, and definitely gave me the confidence to then do it myself. And I think the reason I did it was because I felt inside me, I wasn't happy. You know, as I said, I'd been with him for 9 years, which we'd met when I was about 22, 23, which at the time you feel so grown up and you feel like you are an adult. And of course you are, but you change so much in your 20s and in your 30s. And I mean, I have no idea how much you change in the decades after that. But I didn't feel like we were a good fit anymore. And I didn't feel like I was happy and, I guess, supported in the way that I needed to be supported. And I felt happier when I was doing things on my own.
Such a big statement. That's such a big statement. We hear that a lot, actually. Whenever we have, you know, we might do a Q&A podcast on a Friday and we talk about relationships and how they change. A lot of the comments that come in are about people feeling happier alone mm-hmm. than with their partner, because they're part their day-to-day sort of drudgery of like being with the kids and the endless lists and it's all you know, A to B to C, rather than just flowing free relationship. It just doesn't fit, like it's just monotonous.
Yeah, and I feel like so much shifts once you become parents as well. Obviously it's so much more stressful, there's so much more to think about, and I'm sure you guys have spoken about it before, but the mental load as a mum is huge. And it's really hard to split that mental load and make it 50-50. It kind of automatically goes on the mum. I feel like a lot of it goes on the mum, and it's picking up all those little pieces that then become really, really like draining and heavy to kind of carry.
You don't know how somebody's going to be as a parent until you're in it.
No,
so like you say, you know, in your
point.
20s, like early 20s, you could be so well aligned. And then as, mm-hmm. you know, you change when you become parents. Like no matter what we say, we do change. And sometimes that change isn't positive for both of you together. How did he take it? Did for him, was it like out of the blue, or was, you know, did he see it coming? I guess
no, I think for him it was out of the blue, or that's kind of how it's come across. But for me, that was kind of a shock for me, that it was out of the blue for him, because I kind of felt like that neither of us had been happy for quite a while. But that's just, I think maybe different people have different perceptions of what happiness is as well. And they show their happiness in different ways. I mean, when I'm happy, you will know that I'm happy. I am like talking a million miles an hour, and I am doing everything, and I am being loud. And not everyone's like that. So it's kind of like trying to judge other people and the way they kind of show their emotions. And I also think we didn't really communicate very well. And that's something that's massive for me now and going forward. But also like with my kids as well, like when I was making the decision, I was also really aware that my kids would be fine if we weren't together. That wasn't something that I was worried about. There was no part of me that was like, oh, it's better for the kids if we stay together, because I knew it wasn't. I knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's struck a chord with me, actually, because I think there's been so many times where George and I have had the conversations like, are we leaving them today? Is it happening this week? What's happening? Like, we're joking, but there have been moments where we both flung each other up in floods of tears going,
of course.
Think my marriage is over. Like, I think, and my whole feeling in those moments, and I know George is the same, is this real like deep desire to keep the family together.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not staying for the children, because we love our husbands deeply, but you know, you do think, shit, I just think, how would I ever get out? But take that in the right way.
No, it's true. And I think so many people listening to this will like take a lot from the fact that you're saying, I knew it was better for the children, because that's what, you know, when you become a parent, that's what you consider, isn't it? And I think there's so much to be said for, we've got to keep the family together. But actually, is that what you'd want to teach your kids? That's what we always think. We're always like, so what, you want to teach your kids to stay in an unhappy relationship? No, of course not. So why would we do it?
Like, I was confident that I'm confident in who I am as a parent to my kids. And I was confident in who he was as a parent to the kids. And I knew that, I mean, for kids, surely it's better to be surrounded by as many different people who love them and look after them and teach them positive things like as possible. So it doesn't have to be like one family unit where the mum and dad are like the biological parents or whatever for it to work. There are so many different variations on a family in 2023. And I think there's no point staying in the traditional one if people are going to be miserable. Like, if you're miserable, I don't think I'm as good a parent when I'm miserable. And therefore that rubs off on my kids, and they seem to be, you know, arguing more or hitting each other more or throwing tantrums more, because my unhappiness rubs off on them. And when I'm happy, I'm more relaxed, and then they're more relaxed. And it kind of works in weird ways. But I never wanted to stay together because I thought that would be better for them. I always think it would be that happy parents lead to happy kids.
It's such a good point. How did you have that conversation with the kids? And what did that look like?
So my youngest is only two, so I haven't really said anything to him.
Yep.
My eldest, when we separated, was only 4. So it was still quite young. He doesn't have a full understanding of it. But I kind of just do what I do whenever I have a grown-up conversation with him. I just kind of do it in a simpler terms and kind of just let him ask any questions. So, you know, I think we were away and I said, oh, we're going to, you know, I said, eventually we're going to be moving house. And we talked about all the things he'd want in his new bedroom, which was he wanted a dinosaur themed and stuff. And I said, like, daddy's not going to be living with us when we move to a new house. And he was like, oh, okay. Like, he was totally chill with it. And I was like, you'll still see daddy. Like, you'll go to daddy's house and you, you know, you'll share a bedroom with your brother and we'll have lots of your friends and mummy's friends all coming around to visit. And I kind of listed all the people that come around and will play with us and cook dinner with us. And I guess I just kind of made it sound like a really fun place to be. And they've been completely fine about it. But I'm wondering if it's to do with the age they're at, that I would always try and have those conversations with them. I guess it's the same as when, you know, sometimes he will say to me things like, mummy, why is there blood in the toilet? And then I have to try and do a simplified terms of what a period is. Or, you know, or the classic how babies are made. You kind of just do a simpler but not lying version and then just answer questions.
Yeah, and you've got to be really careful what you say. I told Kit once that my tampon was a fish. Not sure why. And now every time he sees it, he sort of looks down and goes, oh, look, mummy, there's a bish. That's a fish.
A bish.
It's a tampon. I don't know why the fuck I told you that.
And my son got very confused about how babies were made because he actually asked me if I had to eat daddy's nuts. That once a year, birthdays and Christmas. That's pricey, isn't it? So yeah, you do. You've really got to, it's really got to be in simple terms. Otherwise, lots of rumours can go around school.
Were you emotional, Hannah? Were you emotional when you were telling them?
No, do you know what? I wasn't. Do you know what? I can still remember when my mum told me that my parents were separating. I was older. I was 9 or 10. And I remember she told, I've got 2 younger siblings and she told each of us separately. And I remember when she was telling me, she like put me on her lap and she was like sobbing. And she was like, we've got to be strong for each other. And I remember being a bit like, I just remember being like freaked out by her crying more than anything. Mm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with showing emotion around your kids. You know, when I found out I'd got into medical school, which was last week, I was sobbing and I had to say to my eldest, I was like, mummy's, these are happy tears because now mummy's going to go to the really big school to learn how to be a doctor. And I think it's great to show emotion in front of your kids, but that emotion in that moment was what, from my mum, was what always threw me and what always stuck with me. So I kind of just tried to be quite level-headed and not put too much stress on the situation that was happening, just like it was a call or something that, you know.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Yeah. Were you scared, though, internally? Because obviously, you know, when you split up with someone, it's not just the relationship splitting up. Like you say, it's like finances, it's house moves. What were those sort of fears?
Yeah, like constantly. I think at the moment as well, because of the cost of living crisis, it's scarier than ever. Because you can't, it's almost impossible to run a household on your own. Like you kind of have to be in a pair.
Yeah.
So obviously I had all those thoughts and I was like, can I do this? And I just, you see other people somehow making it work and you just think there's got to be a way to do this. It's got to be possible. Mm-hmm. And I always just kind of, whenever I get really overwhelmed and I'm like, you know, I've got all these bills to pay. I've somehow got to pay for medical school. I have no work lined up after next month, say, I think, oh my God, is it like, how am I going to handle this? I've got kids to look after. And I just think, do you know what? I've made it this far. Something will turn up. Something will happen. I will just wing it. And I know that's like terrible advice to anyone, but I think you kind of have to tell yourself that. Otherwise, I just don't know how you'd get out of bed in the morning for the stress and the fear of what comes next.
Yeah. And also that feeling of having to stay. You know, you actually feel that there isn't another option for you, that you have to stay in your unhappy relationship. If that's the sort of, you know, if you're listening to this and it's striking a chord with you, because you feel, well, what am I going to do? And am I going to be able to do it? And will I be able to pay the bills? Will I actually be okay being self-sufficient? And it's a really brave decision. But 100%, it's worth the risk than staying in an unhappy setup. I mean, that will just break you down.
After I'd made the decision, my dad and my stepmom said that if I needed to, me and the kids could go live with them. Now, they live in a very small 3-bed house, you know, the classic box bedroom. Like, it's big enough for them. But I still thought, you know what? I still think that would be the better option. Cramming us into like a like all our stuff into 2 small bedrooms and living with them, I still thought was the better option. And it hasn't come to that yet. But I think when you get to that point when you think, do you know what, I'd rather do that. I'd rather have to go back and live with my parents and take my kids along with me. I think that would be better for all of us than staying. Then I think that's when you know.
Than staying.
You've got to leave. You've got to make that decision, and you've got to put yourself first.
So you wake up after the dust has settled and you're out of your old life and into your new life. At what point did you think about dating again?
So I'll be honest, I didn't immediately think about dating because obviously I'd been in a 9-year relationship and I had 2 small kids and it wasn't the first thing on my agenda. I kind of thought, do you know what? I think I thought I'll wait until this year. So I thought, you know, 6 months or so, and then I might dip my toe in the water, but not looking for anything serious. But then I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I caught wind that my ex was already dating. And so I kind of thought, oh,
okay.
I think I would have not been dating more for his benefit than anything else. Just being respectful of the situation. Yeah. But I thought, oh, if he's dating, actually, what would be stopping me from dating? And I feel like mentally, I think maybe I had zoned out of our relationship quite a while before. So I just thought, you know, what harm is there? And just seeing what the what the dating pool is like.
what the local fruit and veg is like in the area.
Yes.
So I downloaded Tinder and I downloaded Hinge. Whoa. Right, okay. So hear me out here. Everyone was rating a Hinge. Hinge was apparently the place. I went on Hinge and it was so boring. Nothing happened. It's like, I don't know, like putting a CV on LinkedIn or something. It's the one where women are supposed to speak to men first.
Yes.
But honestly, I hated it. I don't think I had a single conversation of anyone on there. And Tinder, now Tinder is weird and wonderful is probably how I would describe it. You really do have to sift through a lot of people and a lot of conversations with people. You think, oh, this person seems fairly, you know, cool. And then the next thing you know, they're propositioning you to do things that you would never do.
Yeah, like what? Like what?
Tell us, please. Okay, no,
one guy, I feel like I can't say this. One guy blocked me like immediately. What was it he said he wanted to? Do you know what as well? As this was happening, it was when the Queen's funeral was on, which just somehow makes it so much worse.
Right.
And he was like messaging and he was saying like, do you know, I can't really remember the specifics, sadly, but it was just like talking about like anal and deep throat. And I was just a bit like, oh, okay.
Oh my God. During the Queen's funeral.
What? Not sure that's for me. And then it was just an instant block. And I was like, okay. Sure.
Well, at least he knows what he kind of is direct and honest and to the point. It's like, if you're not into anal deep throating, you know? I'm not interested.
You know? And you know, you're like, this is not the conversation I envisioned for myself. Discussing deep throat.
I've got to be honest with you. I saw something recently. No names mentioned here, but I saw, I had a little look on Grindr, on a friend's Grindr, and I'm not fucking joking. There was one profile that I saw and it just said 32. Then it said his name and then it just said here to suck. And that was it in the bio.
Love that. Love that. I mean, do you know what? Knows what they want, honest about it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I guess honesty is the best policy, yeah. Isn't it? I mean...
How do I ask this question? Was sex a sort of high on your agenda as you came out of your long-term relationship? Like, was that something that needed to be high up?
Good question. Do you know what? I think it's that thing where when you've only had sex with the same person for nearly a decade and then you've had your kids... There's always definitely that fear of like, shit, my body looks completely different. I've had kids. I've now got to go and have sex with somebody and they're going to see me naked. And that is scary. That's really scary. So like, I kind of wanted to like get over that initial hurdle. I wanted to be like, right, done that, past that. I can move on with my life. Because I was older than the last time I was single, it wasn't like I was necessarily like, oh, I want to go and have like a one night stand or anything like that. I was like, I want to have sex, but I respect myself much more than I did before. And I kind of hold myself to higher standards. Not that there's anything wrong with a one night stand, but I just kind of felt like, do you know what? I'm not going to get really drunk and put myself in that position the same way I might have done a decade ago.
Yeah.
It seems like weird now, but I like met my boyfriend. I've got a boyfriend now. Really, really quickly.
Got a boyfriend.
I've got a boyfriend. Yes. Which is so weird. It's so weird. And also like if he ever tries to say like partner or something, I'm always like boyfriend. Because I just think it's, I don't know. I like the casual funness of it.
So when you met him on, yeah. Was it on Hinge that you, it, no, no, on Tinder, Tinder, Tinder that you met
it was on
him?
Tinder, yeah.
Did you talk before you met about having children, or did you wait till you see if you liked each other? How does that go down?
So I had it in my Tinder bio bit. So I wanted to be upfront like immediately. And also when I went on Tinder, and you know, I've said this to him and I say to anyone, like I had no idea like what I was looking for. I was just seeing what it was like. That was literally it. You know, if I went on a date with someone, great. If I was just talking to someone, great. It was just to kind of experience the dating world again, I guess. So I had it in my bio. So he said to me, I think it was like the second day we were talking, I think he said, oh, did I see that you've got kids? And I said, like, yeah, I've got like two boys who are 2 and 4. And then that was kind of it. I'm lucky in the sense that his sister has got her daughter is from a previous relationship and then she's got stepsons, so they've kind of got that blended family aspect already in their family. And he kind of said to me, if it wasn't for like maybe her having that, then maybe he wouldn't necessarily consider a similar situation for himself, but he'd seen how well it had worked and how nice it was, and it had opened his kind of mind to maybe dating somebody with children.
Does he want kids of himself? Like, have you, I mean, obviously it's relatively early days and maybe that's not the conversation, or maybe it is, I don't know.
Yeah, so we have had the discussion. I think you have to have these kind of conversations early on when you go into a relationship when one person hasn't got kids of their own and one person does. And he would like kids of his own, and I've said that I'm not completely shut off to having any more. So, you know, we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's the thing, isn't it? Because I think those conversations do have to be had up front, especially, I guess, for someone, the person who hasn't got children.
Yeah.
Because they will feel like, probably, you know, like they don't want to be getting into something if that other person is completely closed off to it. But then again, if you're listening to this and you think, I don't want to have any more children, then I think as long as you're upfront with it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I guess you mentioned you started a relationship a lot quicker than you thought you might have done. Did it come with a warning? You know, like, were friends saying to you, oh gosh, like, is this too soon? Or have they been really supportive? Like, what? How has that been?
My friends have all been super, super supportive. So my friend I mentioned who had split up with her husband had also found herself in a similar situation where she had gone into another relationship sooner than she expected to. And she was really happy and it was working out. It still is working out really well for her. And I think my friends had known maybe that I wasn't happy for quite a long time. So I don't think anyone really felt like it was me moving on quite quickly. I think for everyone that knew me, it felt right.
Yeah.
I don't know about anyone else, but it feels right. And I think it's when you've been in something that hasn't felt right for quite a long time to then find something that just feels right and makes you feel really happy, like every single day, like you kind of have to hold on to that. I'm a real believer in that life is really short and love can be really rare and really fleeting. And I think we have to hold on to it where we can find it.
Hannah, I love that.
I love that.
you don't know when, that sounds morbid, but we don't know when we're going to die. And why restrict ourselves of something as beautiful as love? Why tell ourselves we can't have it?
I say, Georgia, it's time now for me and you to run away to Ibiza and go and live on the boat. We'll go cliff jumping. We'll eat in nice restaurant. Cliff jumping, she won't want to do that. But
Cliff jumping? You're trying to sell it to me on cliff jumping. You should have gone in with nice restaurants first.
Not to make a joke of it, Hannah, you're absolutely right. And I think it becomes so big and it becomes so overwhelming that we stay because you know, even if we're not 100% happy, we dig in our heels. And that's just the nature of us being women, actually, is that we're fighters, we're grafters. Yeah. And we feel like, no, we never want to get to a position where we go, actually, I can't do this any longer. But like you said, if you're waking up every single day and you're miserable and there's no love left in that relationship, life is too short for that.
Yeah.
You will be okay.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing. You will be okay. Obviously, you're not going to be okay all the time because no one's happy all the time anyway, but you will be okay. You will make it work. You know, as you said, we fight on, but you don't have to fight on in an unhappy relationship. You can fight on for yourself and, you know, for your kids if you have them. And I think you get a real hunger in your belly once you become a co-parent, really, in my situation. But once you're having to do stuff on your own with the kids, your fight becomes even like stronger. And I've had similar conversations with other women who have separated from the other parent of their children. And you want to fight harder and you move mountains to kind of make everything work for you and the kids. And that passion that I now have for like living and pushing us and making sure everything is as good as it can be for us as like a family unit is I love it. It just brings me so much joy to have all of us together and to feel like I'm doing it on my own. There is a real, I don't know, I can't really explain it, but something that just feels really great inside to be doing it together.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I love that.
Hannah, that's amazing. We love to ask our guests for the best piece of advice that they've ever been given, or the piece of advice that they would give somebody who was in maybe, you know, your situation who's listening.
Mm-hmm. So I have this one piece of advice that my friend gave me probably about 10 years ago. So it was before I had kids, but I still find it just as relevant now in every situation, which is that everything gets better with time, which sounds really boring, but I find that in the worst, you know, we all have those moments where you are, you know, maybe stuck at home, kids are screaming, you are really overstimulated, you almost feel like you can't breathe, it's so overwhelming, but it passes, everything passes, everything changes in a day. That was what she said, everything changes in a day, and it's so true. Like with, you know, relationships and things, like you will have a week, like, you know those times when you are so down, if something really bad's happened and you wake in the night and re-remember it and it feels like someone's taken the air out of your lungs, that will change and that will pass and you will get through it, and there's always more joy and more happiness to be found, and nothing lasts forever in like in a nice sense. Like the bad things, the things that feel hard, they don't last forever. And that for me is just, I always remember that over and over again whenever anything feels tough or hard.
I love that. And we did prep you before. So we would love to hear your product recommendations, whether that's for you, the kids, whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll start with the kids. I will start with, I mean, I'm sure you've had so many people say this, but it truly is one of my favorite things, is the Baby Zen Yo-Yo pushchair.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Especially if we're going to the airport or we've got like a long day and he will just get in it. But I love how small it folds. I love that I can still keep it in the boot even when he doesn't really need it, that it will go on top of in the cabin bit on the plane. I just the handiest pushchair like forever. That we've ever had.
Agreed.
Great.
Agreed.
Yep. Another like a brand that I love for the kids, I really love Lindex for like kids' leggings and stuff. I find that everything is very, now there's a lot of like just tracksuit bottoms in like black or navy. And sometimes I don't want the kids in just tracksuit bottoms. But I find that Lindex have really cool, like nice, like gender neutral. So some of them are kind of like neutrals and some of them are like greens or like yellows, like and like animal prints, like leggings and stuff, which I love for the kids. And that's probably like the main place I buy them from. And it's also like really reasonable as well. It's like £15 for a pack of two, which is, I think, fairly reasonable for like kids stuff, but like nice kids stuff.
Love that.
Yeah, well, really good.
Cotton, that sort of thing. So that's two. Number three is me. My favorite like me treat is, do you know, actually, I'm going to say two things here. Because what they're both Aldi. So one, for me, I'm going to say the Aldi candles, because they're like $3.99.
Yes.
And I just think that's a really like an okay amount to buy yourself something on a whim. And I just love lighting a candle once I put the kids in bed and just sitting there and breathing and being like, I am now zen and I'm now at peace and everything is quiet. It like signifies as part of my me time.
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I do when I come downstairs after I put the kids to bed. I put the candles on, and that's exactly, it's like it's the sign that the evening has started. Yeah, that's what
putting
is.
On a bit of light a few candles, put some Kenny G on, and just kick back and enjoy the evening, guys.
Exactly that.
Yes.
And that was going to lead me on to my other Aldi thing, which is I just love the Aldi nappies and wipes. I just think they are the best wipes. They're really wet, which is a weird thing to say. They're like water wipes, but they're much cheaper. Because I just find some wipes for kids are so dry and they don't like do anything.
Yeah.
Wet wipe. So the Aldi ones for that. And my last thing is going to be the Bare Minerals Complexion Rescue, which is kind of like a tinted moisturizer with SPF in, because it is just my favorite base for like A, protecting my skin, B, hydrating my skin, and C, just making me look slightly more like awake and fresh.
Alive.
Alive, exactly. A little alive. I like I'm actually still breathing and functioning.
I mean,
amazing.
That's sold. Makes you look alive. Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Can I just say, both George and I absolutely adore all of your real and honest content, and for coming on today and talking to us, you know, with such honesty about, you know, co-parenting and single parenting and navigating all of that. Like, you would have helped so many people listening today.
Thank you.
So thank you.
And good luck in September. Like, you have to let us know how you get on.
I will. I'll be obviously talking about all of it on like my social channels and stuff. So yeah, I'm really, really excited. But thank you so much for listening to me ramble on about my life.
No, we've loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Do you know what really stuck with me from that conversation? When she said, you know what? It's going to be all right, because it has to be. Like, you can have all of these fears about how am I going to get through? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And she said she just looks at other people and thinks, if other people are doing it, so can I
can do it.
And I think that's why we wanted to have someone like that on the podcast, because if you are thinking about that right now and you have all of these fears that feel are so normal, just know that it will be okay. Like, it will.
And also, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know, you're not leaving and you're staying, I think you there's great, but there's loads you can take away from that conversation anyway.
Definitely.
So if you've got friends in similar situations that need to hear that piece of audio, I feel like everybody actually needs to listen to it, because you know, sometimes it gets really bad, some days are really good, but Hannah broke it down in a very simple, you know, way of understanding. Actually, you know, I was like, we're both really grateful for her honesty, so thank you to Hannah. And as I said before, if you do have any mates who are kind of in that hole of thinking, God, I feel like everything's over here, maybe just ping them the link, because it might help them out a little bit. And as always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
And if you've got any suggestions for guests you'd like to hear from, then please do drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts.
Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.